My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and I'm excited that you're here this morning in our Palm Sunday celebration. And we're going to take a little bit of time, still in our series, Hello, My Name is Jesus, but dealing with this big idea about what Palm Sunday is. And if you've been in church for a while, you kind of have your idea, and you may even be frustrated that you're not going to get your palm branch on the way out. My wife was talking about when she was younger, like you left with your palm branch. And I'm sorry, we don't have a palm branch for you, but hopefully we have something as memorable as a dying plant that's been murdered for your benefit. Sorry. Hey, a little side note, just in case some of our awesome people of Reach at the end just like go to it, we get to leave everything set up. So, woohoo! Yes, this week we get to have everything like it is, other than a few modifications just for their security system, but yes, awesome. Which means next Sunday, it'll be here. Awesome. So we want to just take this kind of opportunity to begin our week of celebrating what we are really here for, which is the resurrection. There is no church. There is no hope. There really is no God if there wasn't a resurrection. And that's the beauty of where we're going to be next weekend. And one thing, at the end of service, we've got little Reach invite cards. I just encourage you, more people will be willing to come to church next weekend than any other time of the year. It just, like, it's in their DNA, like, oh yeah, I should probably go to church on Easter. And the best way to do it is to give them a card and plan a time that you'll meet them here, or go pick them up and bring them here with you. One of the most uncomfortable things of coming to the church for the first time is walking in the door and being unfamiliar, but if you're there with them, that is settled. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now that, Lord, your sovereign grace is just so beautiful for us as we celebrate your entry into Jerusalem, your purposeful entry into Jerusalem. So, Lord, I pray that you would settle our souls right now. Lord, that you would just begin to build an excitement for the celebration of your resurrection. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that your word in us would become a catalyst to change us and our world. And so we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about this word expectation. Expectation, in my opinion, and I know you could go the other way with this, and you know we're not here to argue, okay? So if you have no expectations, then you know that's bad, but let me just say that I believe that expectations can be one of the most dangerous things that you have, if out of a line. And if you're married, fellas, expectations can ruin your relationship because you expect certain things, and you believe that after a certain period of marriage, like your wife just gets you, and you're expecting a certain meal, and you're expecting a certain something, like I was expecting... I was expecting a white t-shirt to go under my shirt. I didn't have any. You know, expectations get us in trouble. And, you know, they cause frustrations that didn't be there because, like, you don't know that I don't have a white t-shirt under here. I've got a nice light gray one, and it works perfectly. But our expectations ruin things every day. Every day, even if you're not married, if you expect that you're going to go to your favorite coffee shop and get your favorite coffee and it's not there, you know, when that Peabody's not there, when you've got this brew that you just love and you're excited because you feel like they haven't had it for 3 or 4 days, and you get there knowing that today's going to be the day and it's not there, it just kind of ruins things. And these expectations that we place on people and things pollute our life. Where instead of being like Paul and learning to be content in all things, well, realizing that that is a good coffee, but there's other good coffees, there's other great things, like this shirt, really, and there was not a, like, I was going to use it as a joke, And like, we didn't fight over the white t-shirt, just for the record. Like, don't console my wife afterwards and be like, there's so many things that come into my head. I should write every word that I say down on a piece of paper and then have her read it first. But expectations are dangerous. And the problem with expectations is that we do that with everything. With work, with our wives, in our relationships, with our children. We expect them to do certain things. We expect our phone to work like it always works, and when it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I mean, I saw a video, literally, of a little kid yesterday on Facebook or something, and his parents were punishing because he did something, and they were taking away his computer game. And like, hilarious. Like, the dad was literally, and he was like, I hate you! You've ruined my life! And I mean, he's like 8 or 9 in computer game. Like, he had an expectation that this was his, and that was being taken away. And the problem with those things is that we can take our expectations, and this is where I want to get today. We can take that same thing that ruins so many of our relationships, and we can place our expectation on Jesus. And when Jesus doesn't meet our expectation, doesn't do what we want him to do, doesn't come through when we think he should come through, and doesn't do what we think he should do, we get frustrated. And our relationship with him gets tainted, and our day gets ruined, instead of taking it the other way and going, God, you're good. You're good, and what you're doing right now, even if it isn't what I want, is good. And so what I want to look at this morning is Luke 19, 28 through 40, and this idea of this triumphal entry, that Jesus, he set his eyes to Jerusalem because he knew, he wasn't surprised by the crucifixion, he knew what he was going into. And so I want to talk about an expectation that was put on Jesus in his entry, and what it looked like, and then we're going to have a little application towards the end. Here we go, verse 28. It says, when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olive, he said to two of his disciples, saying, go to the village in front of you where we are entering, and you will find a colt tied up on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. Okay, a little interesting. You know, I think the opposite side of that, like, did Jesus just tell them to steal? I mean, he returned it. But could you imagine being the disciples? Because in another one of the Gospels that has this same account, they were actually confronted by the person, I think we're going to get there in just a second, like when they're untying it, and they're going to be like, whoa, whoa, like why are you stealing my car? You know, not really a car, but in this world. And he said, the Lord needs it. And they're like, oh, okay, go ahead. Part of this, in Matthew 21:4, which isn't up here, but I'm going to read it to you. He said, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a beast of burden. So in verse 32, it says, so those who were sent went away and found it just as they were told. So just as Jesus told them, they found the animal. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying my colt? Like, you know, I put all kinds of intonation because we don't know, like, what went on. Like, I feel like this would be a heated conversation. Like, if you rolled outside and somebody was getting in your car, like, you wouldn't be like, hey, what are you doing with my car? You'd probably be like, what are you doing? Which is not there. So just anyway. Verse 34, and it says, and they said, the Lord has need of it. And one thing, actually, Dan said this, and we didn't even talk about this, but the beauty of what is happening here is Jesus is making his entry into Jerusalem as the king. And the idea is that if you ride on a mule, a donkey, into Jerusalem, it's a time of peace. And if you ride in on a white horse, it is a time of war. And so even what Jesus is doing right here is beginning to diminish the expectation of what they expected the Messiah to do. They wanted the Messiah to ride in on a white horse of victory, of war, and war against Rome to free them from the oppression that they were in. And then Jesus did not enter like that. He entered on a donkey, bringing peace. Verse 35. It says, "And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it, and as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road." And this continued. Not another thing. When I leave here, not that I'm applying myself to Jesus, like, you guys aren't going to go, "Oh, like, Heath is walking down the center aisle. Let's take off our jackets and throw them on the ground." Please don't do that. It'd be super weird. But this was a symbol of submission. Like, these were people that were laying down their kind of cloak or their mantle to the coming king. This wasn't in here, but in Matthew 21, verse 8, one of the parallels, it says, "Most of the crowd spread out their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." See, palm branches were employed also as a token of victory. Like, their expectation was so high on what was happening here. They were seeing in their mind the fulfillment of all the prophecies. They were seeing in their time the coming of the king. In verse 37, it says, "As they drew near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" See, in other ones, they literally would say, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That was their expectation. Because in their mind, Jesus was finally coming to take his rightful place as king. And when the Messiah came as king, which they believed in their expectation, it was going to be their world again. They were going to be in control. And all of these words were declaring that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the chosen one. Hosanna in the highest, the Son of David, which is a prophetic word declaring that Jesus is the promised king that they had heard of since the time of David, that he would be the one that would rule and reign forever. And in verse 39, I love how the Pharisees, and we've talked about this over the last couple weeks, they were always there. They was always there to, like, they were just like, I think they're like the religious people of our day that are just like with their little, they don't really do this, but like have their little notebooks. Like, when people find out I'm a pastor and then they cuss around me, like, I'm selling something on Craigslist and I went to go meet this guy and he cussed a few times. And which, like, I'm not the cuss police. And then I gave him my card and I saw him look at the card like, gosh, like I'm in trouble, you know, and like, but in the religious day, they were like the ones going around like, "Oh, you getting in trouble for that. Oh, wow. You say it again. Say it again. Go ahead. God is going to hear about this." And that was the Pharisees. The Pharisees, during the whole time of Jesus, during all of the Gospels, were just around to go, "Oh, no, he didn't." Which is funny because all of their time recording the things of Jesus, you know what? Who they brought when Jesus was crucified to testify against him? A bunch of liars. They didn't even bring people that told the truth. Like, all of this time recording Jesus, they didn't get one thing other than he said that he would tear the temple down and rebuild it. She wasn't talking about the temple that they were talking about. So some of the Pharisees were in the crowd, and I wonder if they're like, you ever been around the crowd like where everybody's chanting and you don't want to feel like you're not chanting with them, so you're kind of like fake chanting? So they're like going through the motions. I'm not really saying Hosanna. I'm like, Howard, in the highest, you know, whatever. So they're not really, but they don't want to be picked out of the line. And so they're sitting there and they're in the crowd and they look over to Jesus. And it was like, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Like, tell them to stop, because they're still in their mind, in their expectation, Jesus wasn't the Messiah. And so they're sitting there to prove him wrong over and over and over again. And all he did in his answer is he says, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. The very stones would cry out praise to Jesus. And here's what's crazy about this. Less than a week from this moment, everyone who loved Jesus runs away and hides. And the ones that were cheering him on, declaring him to be king, praising God because of him, were the ones that were chanting for him to be crucified. In less than a week. See, what's crazy about our expectations, and we do this, is that when we put our expectations on Jesus and what he should and shouldn't do, and base our happiness and joy off of the expectations we put on him, not on the promises that he's given us, but the expectation that we put on him, we become these same people that will one day cheer in glory and give glory to God in his goodness, and in the next day profane his name for what he hasn't done for you. And the danger as we enter into the season is there are expectations that we've put on Jesus that are ruining our ability to serve and love him. There are things going on in our life that we have declared that if God was good, he would do it. If God was good, he would heal this. If God was good, he would give me a job. If God was good, he would fill in the blank. Whatever yours is, I have, in years past, put an expectation on Jesus and been angry that he didn't fulfill my desire. And what rules us and what ruins our relationship with the loving Creator God that put on flesh and allowed himself to be taken captive, crucified, and killed for our sake, is that we don't have the right to put our expectation on him. We don't. I don't forget where I found this. It says, rather than being shaken by the collapse of our false expectation and limited ideas of God, we can take great comfort in this. God is beyond what we can imagine, and he will continually shatter our sense of who he is. This is the mark of his presence. We will always be at least partly wrong, yet we will always be wholly loved. Like, this is the beauty. Like, I don't care how long you have known Jesus. I don't care how long you have served and given your life over. You will never fully understand God. Now, I don't mean that in the sense that you won't understand God to be saved by God. I mean that God will not be limited by your understanding, which is finite. Infinite. He won't. And as long as you live in that place, as long as you allow your expectations to rule your kingdom, you're going to be disappointed. you're going to be upset. You're going to be a pouty little child. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, chief of all sinners right here, people. I've kicked my fair share of sand, you know, the kids. Because I, in my understanding, which is limited, try to put God in my world instead of choosing. Because if the people would have had it their way, Jesus would be their dominating king who ruled and reigned physically, but they still would have been separated from their Creator. They still would be stuck in a system that would ever perpetuate itself in the sacrificial way that would never be complete. But Jesus, knowing what we really needed, went the whole way, past our expectation, because like he could have been swallowed up into, and this is what happens to us. We could have got swallowed up into the excitement of what people think we should do, and of what people think we should be, and become that instead of allowing God to shape us for who we are. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and his idea of God was not a divine idea. It says, it has to be shattered time after time. He shatters it himself. He is the great destructor of religious icons. We could not say that this shattering is one of the marks. We could not almost say that this shattering was one of the marks of his presence. The incarnation is the supreme example. It leaves all previous ideas of the Messiah in ruins. Like, we limit ourselves on what we can experience in God because we limit him. Because we want him to do what we want. And let me just tell you, if your track record is anything like mine, like, we've not done a great job of leading our own life. I mean, just to be honest, like, is anybody in this room, don't raise your hand because everybody will look at you and think you're crazy. But has anybody in here just got it right every time? Your spouse will be like, liar. I mean, seriously, has anybody in here just successfully loved on people and been obedient to the call of Jesus? You know, his two things that he said, what are the greatest commandments? There's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Just in those two things, how successfully have you done those? See, but we choose, even with our own track record, we choose over and over and over again for us to lead the way. Even though in our own leading, we have time and time again led ourselves away from the goodness of God. And so what I want this morning, what I just encourage you, I just felt like when I was leading into this, because, you know, this is year five that we've done Easter at Reach, and it seems like every year, like, I don't want it to just become something like, hey, it's Palm Sunday, and, you know, you get your palm branch, and, you know, your kids will whip each other with it, and it'll be awesome in the parking lot. And I don't want next Sunday to just be another day that we get together, and it's like, yay, the resurrection, like, What if we would destroy our expectations and we would let God be who he is? A good God who loves his children more than they will ever know. More than we will ever know. And he is wise. And he always does the right thing. And he wants to lead us. I mean, we did a series before this called Shepherd. I mean, like, Psalms 23, he wants to lead us to those good places. And over again, we go, like, I'm not sure if you're good. So I'm going to do what I want to do. And over again, we get brought back to the things of God. What if we just this morning, decided just for this week, that we would stop limiting what God could do in us. Stop putting our expectation of what He should do because He loves us. Instead, begin to have this in our minds, this idea, this voice of Him going, trust me, I got this. Like, what if tomorrow morning you woke up and you just heard the voice of God, which this is what He says to His children, trust me, I got this. Regardless of what's happening, regardless of what your bank account looks like and what your job situation looks like and your relationships look like, what if instead of us putting our desires on God and getting mad when He doesn't do what we want to do, even though we understand that we don't make wise choices? I ate one of those donuts out there. I didn't want to. Alan tried to stop me. I just couldn't help it. It had chocolate on it. I mean, like, we can say, like, we make, but we don't. But here's God going, I love you so much that regardless of what you wanted, even though you thought it was good, meaning from this scenario, come and take up your rule and reign physically, Jesus would not be deterred from going to the cross for you. He would not be stopped. And right now, whatever's going on in your life, and I believe this, if you're a child of God, if you've said yes to Jesus, and in your imperfect way, you are trying to be a follower of Jesus, that I believe when Paul said in Romans 8:28, all things happen for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, that means all things. And if we woke up tomorrow morning and believe that, think about everything that we're struggling with. Think about everything that's giving us anxiety right now. Everything that we're stressed about and panicking about. What if in reality, tomorrow morning, we believe that what God, where God has us is for our good? Honestly, what would our lives look like? And that's what that hope and potential that God has for you and in you is what I want you to focus on this week. And that same hope and that same potential, I want you, as you go out this week and you interact with people this week, wherever you're at, that same hope that Jesus has for shaping and molding you into His son or daughter, I want you to look into the eyes of people and go, He can do the same thing with you. And I want next week, because, and we, I feel like, I hope that we preach the gospel always, but next week is going to be a very clear, very simple explanation for the resurrection and the hope that it gives us. And so I just encourage you this week as you leave here, Alan's going to have some cards in the back, cards that you can take, and it literally just has our address to the church. But I would take it a step further and just, I'll meet you there. Like, if our lives can be shaped and changed by Jesus, every single person that we interact with can be the same. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up, and as we go into our last song, as we have a few moments to reflect on our expectations and beginning to release those, I just want you to begin to put in perspective the idea that you can trust God with whatever. And see, the beauty is that we don't want you just to do that alone. Like, the reason why our churches reach community church, we want you to not only believe that and strive for that in your own life, but we want you to get connected to other believers in our community groups and get to know other people that, because when, to be honest, we all have bad days, and we need other people that we can just send a text to or that we can sit face to face with and just go, like, I need you. Like, for me, I have a community group, and I love our community group, and I also have Chris Vernon. Thank you for letting me be gone last weekend to preach at Crosswinds for him. I mean, I love Chris. Like, I meet every week with him, and we look eye to eye, and we love on each other, and we tough love each other in times, and we need that. And so I just encourage you, like, whatever you're going through, we put this moment here so that you can just have a few minutes before you leave these doors and think about everything that has to happen outside of here, and a few moments of just going, God, I haven't trusted you. I haven't believed that you really are good. I haven't believed that this scenario is for me and that you're working in and through it. And I want to invite you into that. And so as we go into this last song, just use it to have a conversation with God and be honest. See, the problem with most of our expectations is they come from a polluted side of us. That God already understands where our heart is. Just be honest with Him. So let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you entered the city. Lord, we thank you that you chose the path that made real sense. And so, Lord, I pray right now as we go into our last song of worship, Lord, that if there's those in this room that we've limited our relationship with you based on our expectations, Lord, I pray that we would willingly surrender them just like your disciples did with their cloaks. That we would literally surrender our expectations to you. And that you would build us accordingly. So Lord, we just trust you. We believe in your sovereign grace and mercy. We believe in your resurrection this morning and the life that it is and will bring to us. So Lord, we trust you. Have your way with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.